Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back once again to the weekly broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, so far this month, Pastor Reynolds has been talking about this little tiny phrase, but God. Now, the general idea is that the Bible outlines many different situations and then follows it up with this simple phrase of but God. Now, although the phrase is a simple one, the outcome is usually spectacular. Now, it could be something good, or it could be something that God is going to put a stop to. Now, in either case, we see that the authority and the final outcome of the situation is always in the hands of God. And so we're going to be continuing along this line of thought. So here's Pastor Reynolds with some more examples of how this phrase, but God, is used.
Today, we would like to study again on this little phrase in the Bible, but God. This little phrase appears some 44 times in the entire Bible. But what it makes me do, it makes me just sit back and glorify and honor and praise God. Because if it wasn't for God and His workings in this world in which we live, there would be no hope at all. But with God, there is all kinds of hope. This morning, we want to look in the book of Acts, chapter number 7. And speak about the nation of Israel. This nation is a great nation even today. But this nation has a great heritage as well. The Bible in the book of Acts chapter number 7 talks about this great heritage of the great nation. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God." This is talking about the time when God said He would judge the nation of Egypt. He would allow Israel to go free, and they went free, and they were loaded down with goodies when they left the land of Egypt. The Bible said, "And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." And He gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. There's so much is said in so few words. And in verse number 9, the Bible talks about how that the patriarchs, this is all the sons of Israel, that they sold Joseph into Egypt. But the Bible makes this little bitty phrase, but God was with him. This morning I want you to just think that Genesis chapter number 37 all the way down through chapter number 50 tells us the story of Joseph. If you've never read that, it would be really good if you just take your Bible down and just to read it. And just to understand, and it's such a rich story, that it would be a blessing to you just to read and to listen to these things that happened in that day. This story involves Joseph, who as a young lad provoked jealousy among his brothers because of his dreams. And he would tell the dreams that he was having. And his brothers didn't like it at all. And finally, they sold him into slavery. Potiphar was the one that finally wound up with him. But the Bible says that Potiphar's wife, she liked Joseph very much. Actually, she just lusted after him. And the Bible said that one day, when they two were alone in the house, that she presented herself to him. But he went away from her, leaving his coat behind, saying, "I cannot do this thing unto God. I cannot do it at all." Then, of course, Potiphar's wife, she lied about it all. And so Joseph wound up in prison. In prison, the jailer put Joseph eventually in charge of everything. And things were going really, really well until the baker and the butler were also cast into prison. And they both of them had a dream in one night. The butler's dream turned out with a good interpretation, and the butler was restored unto his place. But the baker, when he heard the interpretation that was given to him, he decided that he would also tell his dream. But his dream was that he was going to die within 3 days. And he did. The butler, however, he soon forgot his dream and the interpretation of it, because he was basking in his job once again, until Pharaoh had a dream that he could not interpret. Nobody could interpret it. And so the butler then presented to the king his mistake. And he said, "This young man, back in the prison, he interpreted the dream for me and the baker. And he is now dead, but I am lifted back into my place, and I recognize today my fault." If you just hear this young man, his name is Joseph, he will tell you the interpretation of your dream. Well, they call for Joseph, and as you know, Joseph told Pharaoh the real interpretation of the dream, and it happened just exactly as Joseph had said. And then, you know how Joseph's family came into Egypt to buy bread. And when Joseph saw them, he knew right away who they were. This is an amazing story, is it not? That God was with Joseph in saving the entire nation of Israel alive through a terrible, terrible drought that was in that day. You know, regardless of what men could say, God is still in charge. This is the whole lesson of the story. That God is still in charge, that God is still working, that God is still moving, that God is still watching. And God knows everything that's going on. Nothing has been hidden from Him at all. But notice also another place. The Bible here in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, tells us that the Apostle Peter also had to learn a great lesson from God. He was a Jew, and the Jews did not eat any kind of unclean meat at all. One day, Peter saw a vision, and the vision was of all kinds of four-footed beasts and wild beasts and all that. They came down to the earth, and there was a voice that said, "Peter, rise, kill, and eat." And Peter, he said, "No, Lord, I'm not take that, because it's an unclean animal, and according to my Jewish tradition, I do not need to eat of that at all." And three times that happened. And finally, Peter thought about that dream. It happened three times in a row. And then Cornelius came. That's in Acts chapter number 10. That Cornelius came, and Cornelius was not a Jew, but God wanted him to listen to things that Peter had to say. The Bible tells us that Peter heard Cornelius. And in verse number 26 of Acts 10, "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.' And he talked with him, and he went in, and found many that were come together." And so Peter found many people that was there to hear the word of God. And the very first thing out of the Apostle Peter's mouth was these words in verse number 28. Acts 10, verse 28. "And he said unto them, 'Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Because the Jews are supposed to separate themselves.'" But notice the next little phrase here. "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Peter had learned the lesson that God wanted him to learn when all the animals came down. And then the voice came to him and said, "Take, eat, kill, eat." But Peter would not do it. But Peter learned the lesson that God is the one that is in charge, and that whatever God wants, even if it's against our tradition, we must listen to, we must heed, we must always do what God wants us to do. You see, God wants us to understand that He is in charge. We are not. We need to do only the things that God wants us to do. The Bible continues the same line of thought in the book of Acts 13. In this place, Paul is preaching at Antioch, and he makes a statement here concerning the fact that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's in Acts 17 and verse number 30. But God raised him from the dead. That is, Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. It don't make a difference what anybody says about it. God is in charge. He is the one that we worship. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that has saved our unworthy soul. And he is the one, he is the only one that can wash away all of your sins. Let me tell you, you can't do it. I can't do it. No baptism will ever wash away your sins. No church membership will ever wash away your sins. No living right will ever wash away your sins. But Jesus Christ can do exactly that. And Jesus Christ can make you very content. If you want to serve him, God will bless just exactly that way. You might say, but I am saving myself. No, you're not. Jesus Christ is the only one that can wash away any of your sins. Look in the book of Romans chapter number 5. In Romans 5, the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The Bible says many, many things about the way that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Romans 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But notice what it says in verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary for us. I'm so glad that he has. I'm so glad that my sins are been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This little phrase, but God, is indeed a marvelous phrase, because he makes it also. If you are lost today, then I pray that today you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ in true saving faith, that you would just trust Christ. He can wash away all your sins in his own blood on the cross of Calvary. There's no doubt about that. And then after you're saved, I pray that God would so burden your own soul that you would dedicate your life to him, that you would give to him everything, not hold back anything at all, because God is well able to watch over more than we ever can. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. After that you're saved, we invite you to come to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri, and just tell us the great things that God has done for you, and we will all glorify and honor and praise God who has touched you.
Now, if you missed any of the prior messages on this message about But God, then please log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. Now, from there, you're going to be able to see an area that's dedicated to our radio broadcast, and this will allow you to catch up on any of those messages that you might have missed from the past month. Now, we'd also encourage you to check out the many other books and articles that are available on the website. And for those of you that are able, we'd also like to invite you to attend services with us today in person. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we're going to begin this morning with Sunday school at 10 a.m. And then we'll have a worship service at 11. This afternoon, we'll have a prayer meeting at 3:45, and then another worship service at 4:30. Now, it appears that we're once again out of time, but we do want to thank you for listening, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we continue studying this simple little phrase, But God.